Good evening, and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Thursday, April 28, 2016. When will a transitional government be in place?
The president now is working on the process to dissolve the government in the running up to formation of the transitional government of national unity.
And one top U.S. official tells U.S. lawmakers that financial transparency is crucial to the transitional government.
And so we looked at what we could do that would have an impact that would incentivize both sides. And there the embargo actually came up short because it would incentivize the government much more, which could have led to greater resistance from the opposition.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan government and SPLM in opposition officials say they are moving closer to forming the transitional government, which is now several months behind schedule. Presidential spokesman Atenwek Aten says the current cabinet may be dissolved any time now. Waki Simon Wudu reports for VOA from the capital, Juba.
President Salva Kiir's spokesman Atenwek Aten says Mr. Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar are finalizing consultations on a transitional government.
The president now is working on the process to dissolve the government in the running up to formation of the transitional government of national unity. There are a bit of consultation that are taking place between the parties and particularly the first vice president.
Atene says Mr. Kiir is ready to name 16 ministerial positions for the transitional cabinet from his side. Parties to the August peace agreement are under pressure to quickly form a unity government as required by the peace agreement. SPLM IO William Ezekiel says his side has finalized the consultations and nominations in a meeting yesterday run by Machar.
The agenda was to discuss the issue of the formation of the government of national unity, particularly in regard to the quota given to IO by virtue of the agreement, resolution of the conflict in South Sudan.
The SPLM IO is allowed to name 10 ministerial positions. Ezekiel says officials examined the qualifications of each ministerial candidate during the meeting.
Of course, all of us, we agreed that the ministers of SPLM in a position, number one, they should get rid themselves of this issue of tribalism, this issue of nepotism, issue of regionalism, and all sorts of schism. Then, the criteria is as follows: that we need a competent cadre, person with a good qualification background. Not only that, a person who is entirely has the spirit of belonging to South Sudan, who is ready to serve the people of South Sudan, and above all, a candidate who believes in the principles and in the spirit of the agreement by itself.
Ezekiel says Machar submitted the list of SPLM IO nominees this morning to Mr. Kiir. Atene says Mr. Kiir may dissolve the current government, quote, any time now, but did not provide an actual date on which it would happen and a transitional government would be formed. The peace deal states that the transitional government will have 30 ministers. President Kiir will appoint 16, the SPLM-IO gets to name 10, and the former detainees and other opposition parties appoint 2 each. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
A U.S. House Subcommittee on African Foreign Relations held a hearing yesterday on the prospects of peace and security in South Sudan. The six-panel hearing included Ambassador Donald Booth, U.S. Special Envoy to Sudan and South Sudan, and Dr. Luca Byung-Deng, a research fellow at the Peace Research Institute in Oslo. Byung told U.S. congressional lawmakers that international and regional partners should make it clear to South Sudan's leaders that failure to implement the peace accord is not an option.
And that is, I want to start this debate because it is important, so that you can let the people of South Sudan, even the leaders of South Sudan, to know the consequences of not implementing this peace agreement.
Byung says South Sudanese are proud of having won independence and don't want that hard-won achievement to be destroyed by the nation's current leaders.
And nobody should actually tamper with this very fact that we have an independent country. And for the people of South Sudan, this is the bottom line. This is the most important achievement for them. And non-implementation will come to this very important achievement. For me, we should do whatever it takes for us to implement and to restore our dignity and the achievement that we have.
U.S. Ambassador Donald Booth says the international community has the tools to pressure South Sudanese leaders into abiding by the peace agreement. He also says the consequences of insecurity could impact neighboring countries. And because of that, those countries are uniquely positioned to pressure South Sudanese leaders into ushering in lasting peace. He says the sanctions recently proposed by the U.N. Security Council were largely an effort to ensure that Machar would come back to Juba. Booth says they were not designed to punish individuals, but to encourage the parties to get the transitional government formed without any more delays.
And so we looked at what we could do that would have an impact that would incentivize both sides. And there the embargo actually came up short because it would incentivize the government much more, which could have led to greater resistance from the opposition. And so that was the problem that we were dealing with at the time. Now that they are one government, it should be easier to exert some of those types of pressures.
Booth says transparency in government finances is another important step to take for the new South Sudanese government. He told U.S. lawmakers his office is in contact with both leaders to implement expenditure control mechanisms in order to prevent the government from overspending. Internally displaced persons in Juba say they welcome the return of armed opposition leader Riek Machar and his appointment as first vice president. They say he and President Kiir must work together towards ensuring security for all citizens so they can return home and try to resume relatively normal lives. Magume Davis-Wakarinj has more from Juba.
34-year-old IDP Richard Bang fled fighting in Gudele with his wife and two children to the UN Protection of Civilian site, then at Tomping. He says living as an IDP is difficult. There is little to no job opportunities and their movements are restricted. Now that the conflict has ended, Charbang wants to return to Juba town and start a business. But before that can happen, he says, President Kiir and Machar must address the needs of the people.
We don't have money on our pocket. People, they died always. Even now, people, they are not AP. I'm an American man now. If I went to the Denka area, maybe they can kill me. Now, the peace come now, there will be a free movement in this South Sudan. People, let me go. If I go to the Denka land, nobody will kill me. If Denka come to the Nuer land, nobody will kill them. Because we are the same, South Sudanese. We the IDPs, we don't want to take revenge. We want the peace.
Speaking in Nuer, IDP Nyantot Dador, a mother of four, agrees. Dador says she has a message for the two leaders.
Let them understand that we have suffered enough. People, especially us women, have suffered a lot. Now that the two leaders have come to an understanding, let them lead us to our expectations. We do not want to run with our children once again. Let peace be peace.
At least 200,000 people have sought refuge in the UN camps for protection of civilians in Juba, Bentiu, Malakal and Bor. 20-year-old Ran Machek says he had to drop out of school when war erupted. His father used to earn money from his farm in Bentiu and pay for his school fees. Now that Machar is back, he says the two leaders must ensure that there is peace throughout the whole nation.
All people can go back and do their own things. Those who can go to farm and they do farming. It will be good when there is peace in the country and stability. Country can grow very fast. But when there is war, people will be left with no hope. Those who don't have power, they will be left with no hope. But when there is peace in the country and stability, everybody will have hope that at least one day, one time, I'll be somebody in the future.
Speaking in Nuer, IDP Rebecca Nyamon says she became emotional when she heard on the radio that Machar had landed in Juba.
ngan chama walong kuwo chiditoria mayeben chigamat kana salfakir mayar ejena gorka kuwo biga.
I am so glad that Dr. Machar and President Salva Kiir are now together. This will give a chance to our children to visit their friends and also go to school. It will give us free movement. Some women had even given up on giving birth because they don't want to give birth during war. If you have two children, you can now add on others because there will be peace, because you are now able to plan for the future.
Philip Ward, chairman of the Noir Union for Reconciliation, Peace Building and Unity Organization, says they are already preaching peace among the IDPs, but wants both leaders to guarantee that they will not fight again.
The people are whom are killing themselves in front line, they are not their son. Let them think as a people of the Republic of South Sudan and elders of the Republic of South Sudan. Because if they are nothing on that, who will think on that?
President Kiir and Riek Machar are supposed to announce the formation of the transitional government of national unity in a few days' time. But neither have said exactly when it will happen. For VOA News, I am Mugume, Davis Ruakarinj in Juba.
The United Nations mission in South Sudan says unknown gunmen attacked their base in Bentiu on Monday. The standoff only occurred outside the base and lasted 30 minutes. UNMA spokesperson Ariane Quinter says the gunmen launched a rocket-propelled grenade, which landed inside the perimeter of the compound and partly damaged one of the containers located in the humanitarian hub.
Following the arms fire, small arms fire, one rocket fell on the compound. It was apparently targeted at the compound, and it did hit a container of UN staff, and it did partly damage the container. UN is very concerned about this attack, which was targeted at the UN base.
UNMA says in a statement that initial investigations indicate that the rocket-propelled grenade, along with small arms, directly targeted the UNMA's compound. Local media is reporting that at least 200 head of cattle were stolen during the fighting. The UN was not able to verify those reports. Contrary to local reporting, Quinter says there was no casualties inside the UN compound.
Then the force fired back, so it only lasted half an hour. We've been trying to figure out what happened. We've been talking with the local authorities. There is no armed group that we know of armed armies that we know of in the area, so we are not sure what happened.
The United Nations condemned the attacks and called on all stakeholders to respect the civilian sites, the humanitarian workers, and its residents. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. More than 2 years of brutal conflict has torn South Sudan apart and devastated its economy. More on what's being done to try to turn that around when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you make emotional decisions or logical ones?
I make both, but I think I make more logical decisions than the emotional ones.
I mostly make emotional decisions, and it mostly works out. I don't really regret making it.
These two, they always move simultaneously. The emotional one, when you lost the dear one, of course, you will be painted, and you will lose your control. You'll be imbalanced, and when you are imbalanced, you will not actually have the control of your emotion, and there you find yourself losing the emotion.
Sometimes I make emotional decisions, but I later regret that.
I don't lash in making decisions. I sit down and think on how I'm going to make that decision to be a proper and a good one.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. 2.5 years of civil war have destroyed South Sudan's economy. The country's leaders say they need urgent international support to rebuild and restore peace. But that may be complicated, as Jason Patinkin reports for VOA from Juba.
When South Sudan gains independence in 2011, its oil wealth made its government one of the richest in East Africa. But now, after more than 2 years of war, it is among the poorest. Fighting has cut oil production by half, while crude prices worldwide have collapsed. The South Sudanese pound has lost almost 90% of its value, and inflation is skyrocketing. President Salva Kiir and former rebel leader Riek Machar are meant to form a transitional government this week aimed at ending the war, but there is not enough money to keep the new government going. Mariola Wau, an economics professor at the University of Juba, says the new government will need direct budget support to stay afloat.
We are in extraordinary conditions, abnormal conditions. Under the normal conditions, you leave a country to take care of its budget. But we are coming out of the war. We are settling people. We are setting up institutions. So it needs abnormal resources.
Kiir and Machar are asking the international community, including the International Monetary Fund, to help with such resources. Whether budget support arrives is partly the decision of foreign donors like the United States, Britain, and Norway. Those three countries say they will support the transitional government, but they are wary of corruption and funds being used to fuel more fighting. In the last 2 years, South Sudan slashed its health and education budgets while spending massively on weapons. Doctors are on strike because they haven't been paid in months. Public clinics have no medicine. British Ambassador to South Sudan Tim Morris said foreign donors need to see big changes in how the country's finances are managed.
If this country is to attract a substantive international package, it has to implement policies of reform. Otherwise, the IMF, the international financial community, simply cannot engage.
Morris says there will be no lump sums of cash given, and any spending must be tightly controlled. He warns that for the time being, Britain will not support the military, South Sudan's largest employer, given human rights abuses committed during the war. Morris also cautions that foreign nations are stretched insofar as how much money they can spend on South Sudan.
Funds are very limited globally. This is not a question of a figure being identified and then satisfied. It is a question of a process, and it will be a period of austerity. And my prediction, I think all our predictions, is that the transitional government will have a difficult job in this.
South Sudan's finance minister, David Deng Atharbe, said he is confident the government will enact the reforms and win support.
The international community, especially the IMF and the World Bank, are ready to come and to plan programs for South Sudan. This, of course, is based on a number of conditions. But those conditions are good for us because all of us aspire to implement all those conditions they look for.
Yet South Sudanese economist Peter Biarajak is skeptical the country's politicians will do a better job managing finances this time around. He says the IMF may require an austerity budget that cuts spending by 50%. But, he says, South Sudan's public wage bill is actually expanding as Machar's politicians, generals, and soldiers rejoin the government and army.
I don't see that political strength that will say, let's cut expenditures, let's reduce the military, let's cut off the corruption, let's do all of this. I don't see that happening.
Whether or not Kiir and Machar prove him wrong may decide whether their new partnership succeeds or fails. Jason Patinkin for VOA News, Juba.
The former governor of Western Equatoria was freed by security agents after spending nearly 4 months in detention in Juba. Colonel Bangasi Joseph Bakasoro was released last night on orders from President Kiir. He is appealing to the president to also release other detainees being held in the National Security Prison. Gift Friday has the story for VOA from Juba.
Speaking to reporters at his residence in Gudele 2 in Juba, former governor Bangasi Joseph Bakasoro said he's glad to be back home safely after months of detention. Bakasoro says he's grateful to President Kiir for his release and urged him to free other detainees who have not been charged with crime.
I would like to thank the president for his good gesture to me. When your child makes a mistake, you advise and then the child will return home. So I'm ready to support the government. I'm ready to work with the president. I'm also appealing to the president for the same good gesture if he can release other detainees out so that we reconcile our ranks and we become together.
Bakasoro also thanked the international community, faith-based groups, and civil society groups for their efforts to get him released. He says his arrest was political but declined to elaborate. The former Western Equatoria State Governor says he lost 9 kilograms while in detention.
I was not tortured. I was not beaten. We eat and we sit down. We can read books if you have books. Of course, in a detention, when you are detained and you remain in one place, I lost weight with 9 kilos, not because I was not eating, but because of the worry that I'm in detention.
Bakosoro urged South Sudanese to pray for the country, given its political and economic crisis, and says he is ready to go to work again for President Kiir.
There are a lot that we can do in South Sudan to contribute for the goodness of this country, not necessarily to be in the government, but also necessarily to be in the government. It depends on where we are. I'm just patient, waiting for what will come ahead of me, and I will support.
Bakosore says reconciliation is the only way forward for South Sudan. He says he is looking forward to the day when the government repairs South Sudan's deteriorating economic and political problems. Bakosore urged South Sudanese to embrace farming and education.
It is now time for rain season. Everybody has to go to farming. Everybody has to go to school. Without education, we shall continue fighting because we are ignorant. Without food, we shall continue fighting because we are hungry. We need to work harder and harder and forget the past in terms of corruption, mismanagement.
Bakosore served as the governor of the former Western Equatoria after winning the 2010 general elections as an independent candidate. He was removed from office by presidential decree in August last year. Gift Friday for VOA News, Juba.
In Khartoum, a 20-year-old university student was allegedly shot and killed by National Conference Party students in political unrest at Omdurman Ahliya University yesterday. More than 20 students were arrested. Mohamed Al-Sig, a student at Omdurman Ahliya University in the second-year Faculty of Literature program, died from a gunshot wound to the heart while he was taking part in a peaceful protest at the university. Salah Al-Asir, a student with the Nuba Mountains Association, says he saw his friend being shot and killed in front of his eyes.
Last week, we had one student of the Nuba Mountains students. He was beaten by National Conference students, and the student was blind. The Nuba Mountains Association was engaged in a peaceful protest, but the National Conference student attacked the Nuba Mountains Association students with swords and sticks. Then clashes between the two groups happened. They were able to defeat the National Conference students. After they were defeated, the National Conference students came back again with weapons, and they attacked the other students and shot one student with a Kalashnikov in the heart. We took him to the hospital where he died.
On the Sudanese activist social media group on Facebook, a woman identified as the mother of the slain student is seen crying inside her house. Speaking in Arabic, she says her son was simply playing football and was not associated with any political group. The National Conference Student Party released a statement today in Arabic denying accusations that they killed Mohamed Al-Sig. They say that the Sudanese Revolutionary Front students killed Mohamed Al-Sig. Sudanese activists have been seen protesting in the streets around the university over the student's death. A court in Yambio of the new Budwe state has sentenced 7 men to 16 days in prison for illegal logging in the state. Budwe State Police Commissioner says he is enforcing a local order issued by the state governor in November to stop illegal logging in the state. Gift Friday has more for VOA from Juba.
The 7 men accused of illegal logging appeared before Yambio County Court, Second Magistrate Judge Angelo Daniel, on Tuesday after being held in custody at the Yambio police station for several days. The investigation was headed by the public prosecutor, Paul Joseph.
The judgment is the court is fined them 1,000 for each one in default of men. They have to stay 1 month in the prison. But it is good they pay the 1,000 and then release free.
Joseph says the seven were arrested in Makbondo Boma and Abongo Supayam on April 10th. Joseph says the arrested men had no authorization to cut down timber from state authorities. He says the crackdown on illegal logging started in Yambio and Zara counties, and other investigations will follow suit. The Director General of the State Ministry of Agriculture and Forestry, Marcelo Constantino, says he appreciates the steps taken by the state authorities to curb illegal logging, which he says has been rampant in the state since 2011. Constantino says the illegal felling of trees damaged the environment on several fronts.
So it causes the environmental impact, has destruction of natural habitat. It also encourages bushfire. It also the destruction of fauna and flora, leading to land degradation due to erosion by wind and water, and the negative climatic change, example, heat, drought.
Constantino says businessmen dealing in logging cheat the local people by buying the logs at cheaper prices compared to prices in the international markets. He says the control and regulation of teak trees will help local growers benefit from their tree farms. Constantino says his ministry will take part in a series of radio talk shows to educate communities on the impacts of tree felling in the state. It can be dangerous for trained forest rangers to deal with criminals who enter government-owned teak forest, since most of them carry guns. Budwe State Police Commissioner Major General James Mande Enoka says violators face serious penalties.
This order has specified penalties in case of any violation by individual. It is very serious. The consequence is for an individual, it is 1 month imprisonment and a fine of £1,000. And for companies, there is also imprisonment for 1 month and a fine of 50,000.
Enoka says a big quantity of logs were confiscated during the crackdown. He says only those companies licensed by the state are authorized to cut down trees.
We are now appealing to the people to actually abide by this local order. And of course, all local orders are done with the purpose to actually to regulate a dealing, to also for the welfare of the people, of the public.
Ekotera Tea Company and Blue Lakes are the two major international companies licensed by the government to carry out logging operations in the state. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Juba.
And that's our show for this Thursday. We leave you with the song No More War by Ross Corby.
Well, just checking up the global scene all over the world right now, seeing Rasta cities. We need a global love, you know, and a global solution, and must be a conclusion. Sure, Rastafari, just stop the war. No more war in Africa, the people gotta live up to Jah. No more war in the Middle East, the people are fighting the peace. No more war in America, the people gotta live up to Jah. No more war in Asia, we gotta keep it nice and neat, y'all. Our people suffering around the world today, they're trying to find a solution. We look around and nowhere to hide, not even a single place to run. How can you say you live in the world without love? So how can you say you're leading the world without peace? Circumstances meet people along the way, they need someone to turn to. Only Jah has the solution. No mankind has it on his own. We were created in the image and the likeness of Jah. Mankind, don't try to fool yourself.
Wake up in the morning, you see the sun down. And even times, the rain will fall. Can you tell me what the mystical vibration you see in your heart?
No more war. We've been listening to Ross Corby with the song No More War. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
In America, the people gotta leave up to Jah. No more war in Asia. We gotta keep it nice and neat. Can't you tell me how much?